a very important and interesting shaila that came up, actually from Eretz Yisrael. It's a shaila that has to do with the war and with the current situation that's going on. And of course, we hope that our Divrei Torah will be a schus. There is no greater schus that all of us can contribute than our tefillah and, of course, our Talmud Torah. There's many different things that we can be doing. That this is, of course, one of our obligations that we have to do whatever we can to be marbes chusim for the Jewish people who certainly need them now. So the shaila that I got this week was a very interesting one. We have a friend who lives in Eretz Yisrael who happens to have a pool in their basement. Now, they are very generous and nice people, and they decided they were going to make their pool available to anyone from the south who feels that they need respite for them and their families. They made a sign-up sheet, and they had people taking opportunity to go travel to their home, use the pool for an hour or two, and then go back to wherever it is that they're staying, which is a very, very beautiful chesed. People have been coming in, people have been using it, and people have been leaving very efficiently. This week, he had four mothers, four women who came without any children, just four women showed up, and they wanted to take a little respite. They wanted to go for a swim. So his wife works out of the house. He works in the house, I think. So he showed them to the pool, and he wished them well and told them they should have a great time. And about 3 minutes later, there was an azaka. There was a siren. Now, there hasn't been a siren in this community since October 7th, since the beginning, maybe the first two or three days. But now, he has these four women in his house, and he goes banging on the door, and he tells them, there's a siren, you got to go quickly to the miklat. Now, it happens to be they were all still dressed, nobody got into their bathing suit yet, so he goes with the four women, runs into the miklat, and then he realizes there's a shaila of yichud. He's in his own miklat, in his own house, but he's together, locked in a room with four women. He doesn't even know any of them. He's not related to anybody. And he's not sure what to do. Nobody's home. And he had a very interesting shaila. So I think it's an important shaila. I think it's something that can actually happen in different variations. Let's say you have somebody who runs into a miklat, not with four women. It can happen that somebody can run into a miklat with one person. You don't always end up in a miklat together with a family member. Sometimes you end up with a stranger. They have miklats all over the place, and sometimes they're in public spaces. And the question then becomes, is there a shaila of yichud when you have the terrible circumstance of having to end up in a miklat? So I think it's a very important question to discuss, because it really touches on the whole sugya, the whole discussion of yichud in general. So we start with the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, which is also the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, and the third place it's discussed is the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin talks about the following. And I always feel that there is a corollary between Rabbi Glatt actually told me the other day that he's been learning the Daf Yomi for, I forgot what he said, 30-something years, maybe more, maybe less, but many, many years. And he said he often finds that as he's learning the Daf Yomi, it informs so much of what's going on. Today's Daf Yomi in the end of Maseches Kiddushin talks about the sugya of Yichud, and it gives a story about Yichud. And that's something that is, of course, a very instructive sugya, when we talk about this issue of yichud. So the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, it is also expanded upon a Maseches Avodah Zarah, and in Maseches Sanhedrin, asks the Gemara, Remez li yichud min haTorah minayin. How do we know that there's this concept, that there's this idea of yichud? Now, when the Gemara asked that question, it would seem to be that yichud would be a biblical prohibition, and that is exactly what the Gemara is asking. Where do we have this concept of yichud in the Torah itself? The Gemara doesn't ask that question. Where do we have Mikra Megillah in the Torah? Why? Because Mikra Megillah is Midrabanan. The Gemara never asks the question, where do we have the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros Shabbos in the Torah? The Gemara doesn't ask it because Hadlakas Neiros Shabbos is not found in the Torah. So from the fact that the Gemara has this question, it seems that Yichud would be something that would seemingly be a Isser De'oraisa. So says the Gemara, we learn it from a certain Pasuk, we don't have to get into it now, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Ben misyached im imo. Of course, a son is allowed to have yichud with his mother. There's no concern over there. However, aser lisyached im kol arayos shabbatora. However, he is not allowed to have yichud with anybody else outside of his mother. So any other arayos is something that he has to be concerned about. What about sisters? That's a big discussion. But all other arayos, we assume, would be something that one has to be mindful of. That is the original text of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, we're going to extend that original halacha. Yichud that the Gemara is talking about there is somebody, a man who is in seclusion, who is in a private area together with a woman that is an erva, that is an arayus to him. Then the Gemara says, David HaMelech, because of a certain circumstance that happened in his generation, David HaMelech made an addition to the Isser of Yichud, and he said, even for a Isha Pnuya, even for a woman who's not married. So, there's no Arayus there because I can marry her. She's not Asura to me. Yichud is a problem with an Eishes Ish or with somebody I'm not allowed to be married to. But if I have an Isha Pnuya, what's the problem? Says David HaMelech, we have to make a gzera. It's not a good thing that even single women should be with anybody else from the opposite gender. And therefore, David HaMelech made a gzera de Rabbanan that we are going to add on to the original halacha of Yichud. And even an Isha Pnuya, even a single woman, is going to be included in this prohibition. Then the Gemara says it came to a third place where they added another leaf onto the Isser Yichud. And what was that? That there is now a prohibition of Yichud even with an Isha Nachris, with a woman who is not Jewish. Now, what's the concern? You think a Jewish man is then going to have a relationship with a non-Jewish woman? Sounds very far-fetched. Doesn't sound like something that would really happen. But says the Gemara, he can't be careful enough. And therefore, Chazal added on to this Gzeira of Yichud, and they said that Midrabanan, you're not allowed to have Yichud with a Isha Nachris, even with a non-Jewish woman, who there is no Havamina in the world. There is no chance in the world that this Jewish man would marry her or have a relationship with her anyway. As we know, unfortunately, people have taivas. People do things they shouldn't do. So that's why Yichud is a very, very important halacha. This is not something that directly relates to Yichud at all, but it just reminded me when I was thinking about this. Rav Asher Weiss called me tonight. He was, you know, talking about a number of questions that had come up over the last couple of days. And one of the things that he raised, which was so disturbing to me, it was just so distressing. He said that there was a Rav in the Enoch HaRedus, which is the Enoch HaRedus in Yerushalayim. There was a Rav who came to his home last night to talk to him. And he said he had an urgent shaila, he had an urgent question that he needed his advice on. So he said that he has somebody in his kihila, somebody in his community, who has a first cousin who is a woman who is not religious and who was at the music festival on October 7th. And unfortunately, when the Hamas terrorists came in, they raped this woman, they did terrible things to her, and then they shot her in the back, and she was bleeding out. And they assumed that she was dead because she was on the floor and she couldn't move and she was bleeding. Hours went by and she was out there in the field, and a paramedic came by and saw that she was breathing and basically evacuated her to the hospital. And she is now a month later still in the hospital, but doing fairly well for what she had been through. She is recovering and doing very, very well. And unfortunately, what just came to light last night was that she is now 4 weeks pregnant from this Arab terrorist. And the shaila was whether or not they're allowed to do an abortion. And this is such a horrific shaila. It's such a horrific shaila because finally, when this woman got to a point where she felt that she was being somewhat rehabilitated, and the physical trauma that she went through, and now the emotional trauma that she's going to have to live with, and on top of that, now she's going to have to go for a procedure to have a DNC or to have something done, is just so horrific. It's such a horrifying question. But, you know, there are some very sick people in the world, and some very, very inhumane activities that they're involved in. And we don't even realize the extent of everything that the Jewish community has been through over the last 4 weeks. Time will tell the scars that this will leave emotionally and physically on so many different categories and groups of people. But what a rachmanis, what a terrible, terrible story. And we hope that she should have a refuah shlema, and that whatever she has been through should be something that we hope, miraculously, she'll be able to somehow move forward and get past. And I was so shaken up from that question. Anyway, so we're talking about Yichud here. Answers for another time. I was so, you know, what he said to me is, this is one of the easiest shilas I've ever answered, but dealing with the Rav who came to ask it was much more difficult. You know, he said the emotional trauma that the person who was involved in the shila and talking to this woman was on its own just a different level. There's so many different layers to everything that we're going through. Anyway, so from the fact that the Gemara asked this question, Remez liyichud ben atar minayin, it would seem, according to most of the Rishonim, and what I mean by most of the Rishonim is Rashi, Tosis, and the Ramban, and Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Rashba, the Sefer Achinuch, and the Tur, and the Trumas HaDeshen, and the Achronim as well, the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Chazon Ish, and most of the Gedali Achronim, are all of the opinion that Yichud is an Isser D'Oraisa. Now, when we say Yichud is an Isser D'Oraisa, that means we're talking about one man and one woman that are secluded in some kind of private area. That would be a prohibition of Yichud Mid'Oraisa. What happens if we change the case, and now instead of having one woman, we have two women who are secluded with a man. Would that be something that is still a biblical prohibition? Is that still an issur d'oraisa? So the Rashba writes that this is only an issur midrabbanan. Now, the Rashba asks, why should it be prohibited at all? When you have one man and one woman, we assume maybe something's going to happen, maybe they'll do something wrong. But when you have two women and one man, don't we assume that one of them is going to protect the other, that somebody's going to make sure nothing happens? Says the Rashba, that we assume that they're not going to be afraid of each other, these two women, and maybe once one of them sees that the other woman is doing something wrong with this man, she will join in and she'll also get involved. And therefore we have a concern, and says the Rashba, that we assume if you have two women together with one man, there's still a concern about yichud, but it is only in iser midirabana. Okay. An exception to the rule, says Rav Moshe, is if you have two women who are actually related to each other. This is a very interesting svara. Says Rav Moshe, let's say you have a man who is secluded, who is together in a private area with a woman and her daughter. They're not related to him, but they're related to each other, these two women. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva, you have nothing to be concerned about in that case. Why not? Says Rav Moshe, because even if you were to imagine that two women who are together with a man may end up leading themselves to do something wrong together with him, he says when you have two relatives, they're so embarrassed of each other. They're going to have to face each other every day. They're going to have to continue to be relatives even after the story is over. And therefore, he says it would never dawn on them to do anything wrong when the other person is watching. Now that's very interesting to me, because I could have said a counter svar. I could have said the opposite. When you have two strangers who are together in a room, two women who are together with one man, I'm not going to do anything. I don't know this person. I'm embarrassed of them. When I have two family members together, I would say, you're so comfortable with each other. You all know each other's secrets. You know everything about the other one. You have no reason to assume they'll do anything, that they're going to behave. Because after all, so we both did something wrong. So Rav Moshe says no. Rav Moshe says a chiddush where he says, when you have two women who are related to one another, very closely related, there is no concern of two women being together with one man. That is a big kula, very interesting chiddush. And along the same lines, the poskim write, if I have two women who are sonos ze'ezeh, let's say I have two women who hate each other, and they end up, for whatever reason, in the privacy of some office somewhere, and they're screaming and yelling, and they really don't like each other, there's no concern that one is going to do something wrong while the other one is there. Why? Because you hate me anyway. Now you're going to go and spread the story of what I did behind closed doors. So there's no concern of that. And therefore, the poskim say, if you have either two family members together with one man, or you have two women who hate each other, then we would assume that would not be a problem. Now let's up the ante a little bit. Let's say you have three women. What do you say then? Do you still assume three women are going to do something wrong with one man? Hard to imagine. And therefore, many of the Rishonim, the Rashba and Rabbeinu Tam, write that if you have three women together with one man, there is nothing to be concerned about. Yichud would no longer apply at all. Mipnei shehem mizbaishos zumizu. Everybody would be ashamed if they did something wrong in the presence of two other people. That would be a terrible thing. And therefore, he says, there's no concern when you have three women together with one man. Other Rishonim, other very prominent Rishonim, like the Rambam and the Rush and the Tur, disagree with that position of the Rashba, and they say, no, you never know, you can never trust yourself enough. And even one man with three women has to be careful. How do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? It's actually machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. So the Mechaber is machmer, and he says, there are those who say that if you have three women together with one man, there's no longer yichud. However, he says, we are machmer. And the Ramah comes along and he says, no, we don't have to be concerned because three women with one man is no reason for any concern. Nobody's going to possibly think about doing anything wrong in the presence of so many other individuals who are there. The only exception to the rule that the Ramah writes is, if you have a man, shalibo gas binashim elu. What does that mean? Let's say you have the CEO of a company, and he has three secretaries. So you're going to say the three secretaries aren't ever going to do anything wrong with him? The answer is they're all afraid of him. If they're all afraid of him, then he can abuse his power, unfortunately. We've seen it happen all over the world. And even if three women are there, you have to be concerned. So the Ramah says, if you have a situation of libo gaspa, you have some kind of relationship that makes it not the same simple standard equation that we spoke about, that would be a little bit different. But in a regular case, so let's get back to our story. You have this man is stuck in his house with four women. So we are Ashkenazim, we paskin like the Ramah. So there would really be no yichud even to start. Because you're dealing with four women, and there are four women who are ksherim, four women who are religious women, wonderful people. there's no reason to be concerned of yichud anymore. The Rama says, once you have three or more, there is no concern of yichud. So that is number one. Let's say we change the case just slightly. Let's say it would be one woman went swimming in his house, and now, I'm sorry, one or two women are in his house, and now they all need to run to the miklat. And he ends up having real yichud with these women. What is the halacha there? So that is a very interesting question. You can say, to go into a bomb shelter, to go into a miklat, is pikuach nefesh. So of course, I have to go into the miklat. It doesn't matter if I'm violating the Easter yichud. It doesn't matter what's happening. I have to go try to save my life. What's the answer to that? Not so clear. Why? Because we know pikuach nefesh is doche kol haTorah kula. We know that pikuach nefesh is more important, is more significant than any mitzvah in the Torah. However, there are three exceptions to the rule. What are the three exceptions? Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. There was actually an interesting shiloh that came up a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't clear to me exactly what the answer was, but there were some in Eretz Yisrael who were advocating that the Rabbanim in America should be going to churches in the South where they're evangelical Christians and they're very supportive of the State of Israel and the Jewish people and their cause. And there were those who argued that maybe the Rabbanim should be going and speaking in the churches, gain their sympathy and make them understand what it is that's going on. And they were welcoming the rabbis to come visit and speak. So the question was, am I allowed to go into a church in the middle of a mass? So the answer to that was, well, it's pikuach nefesh. The Jewish people in Israel need the help of the Jewish, of the evangelical Christians in this country. Well, the answer to that is, pikuach nefesh really is a factor, but maybe you have to think about the fact that the three exceptions to the rule when pikuach nefesh does not apply is avodah zarah, gili arayos, shvichas damim. So is it considered participating in avodah zarah or abizrayu d'avodah zarah, something of the category of avodah zarah by going into a church, participating in a mass, speaking at the end of Adon Olam there, whatever they do, is that something that would be tantamount to avodah zarah and therefore not even allowed for pikuach nefesh? Or maybe you should say pikuach nefesh d'rabim, makes a difference. We're not talking about one person's life. We're talking, you can raise millions of dollars in these churches. Maybe that would be something that would help many people, a whole community. So this was a big, big issue about 2 or 3 weeks ago, something that was very heavily debated, very much discussed. And I think it's very interesting. But Hanogele in Yonenu, we have to think about that. I would not be allowed to violate actual arayos, gili arayos, if it was to save my life. What is the story of Yichud? Is Yichud considered Gili Arayos or maybe not? That is the question. Very interesting question. So it goes back to the early 1800s. A Shaila was sent to the great Gadol Reb Shlomo Kluger, who was asked the following Shaila. Again, they only asked the question ex post facto. He wasn't around at the time to ask him. He wasn't in the town. But they sent him a letter after and said, what would you have said in the following scenario? What was the Shaila? It was in a Kehila that was by the name of Slavita. I'm not familiar with where that is or what it is, somewhere in Europe. And the story was that it was on a Shabbos afternoon. There was a woman in a neighboring town who was in labor. Now, she needed a midwife to come or some kind of medical professional to come from town A to come and help her in town B to have the baby. Okay, so of course, that's pikuach nefesh. So we're mechala Shabbos. So there was no question in the world that the midwife was going to get up on Shabbos, once she got the telegram, whatever, however she was informed, she was going to go immediately and do it. The problem is, the only available wagon driver at the time who was going to bring her was a man. So she's a woman, she's going to go in a wagon together with a man and violate the Isser of Yichud. She's going to be with him for hours. So what's the potential Eitzah? What's the way around Yichud? What do you do? What's the easy answer? Send her husband. You leave the door open where? In the wagon, you're going to fall out. So what do? The easiest answer is, tell the husband to go along. So long as the husband and wife are traveling together in the wagon, there's no yichud. Problem is like this. Does it make sense that he should violate Shabbos to go help his wife be able to get around the problem of yichud? Or do we say, no, just violate the Isser yichud and don't worry about it. Go help the woman who's in labor and don't worry about all these things. So they sent the shaila to Rav Shlomo Kluger. What's better? Is it better that of course the midwife has to go. That's not what we're talking about. The shaila is, should she go and violate Shabbos and Yichud? Or should she go and bring her husband along? Now he's going to violate Shabbos also, but at least they'll get around the problem of Yichud. Now, you'll ask yourself, why should we be so concerned about Yichud? The answer is exactly this question. How do we view Yichud? Is that an extension of Gilui Arayos, and Gilui Arayos, we normally say, does not override Pikuach Nefesh. So even though we have a woman who's in labor, who needs the help of this midwife, if we don't get around the problem of Yichud, maybe we say, too bad. Well, what's too bad? Well, the simple solution is, send the husband. Then it would make sense that he should be Mechal Shabbos. If you say that Yichud is not Yeharig Val Yavar, Yichud is not from the Gilui Arayos category, then we would say, so violate Yichud and go. The same way you would violate anything else to go. You're violating Shabbos to go. So why wouldn't you violate Yichud? Very fascinating shayla that was sent at the time to Rabbi Shlomo Kluger. And this is really what they were arguing about. Would we say that Abizrayu de Gilui Arayos, which means an extension of the category of Gilui Arayos, is also considered like Gilui Arayos proper, and therefore you would be expected to give up your life as not to violate the Yisr of Gilui Arayos, which would include Yichud as well. That is the major shayla. So one of the discussions that they have there in that whole context is a Gemara Masecha Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells a terrible story. Maisa ba'adam echad. There was a story with one individual. Shanasan einav b'isha achas. He was what we would call today, I'm sorry to say it in a shul, he was a sex addict. So he was a sick man. And he had his eyes set on a certain woman. And he couldn't get this woman out of his head. But the problem is, it's not a woman who he's allowed to be married to, he's allowed to have a relationship with. So he didn't know what to do. And he was going to the therapist and to the doctors, and they said, if we don't figure something out for this man, he's going to die from his addiction. It's driving him crazy, and he's going to die from it. I assume those who are in the world of therapy, I don't know, but I assume there is such a thing, that people can have something that they're so wrapped up around, and if we don't do something to deal with the addiction, they're going to kill themselves. So he said, the doctors had assessed this man, and they said, in our estimation, it would seem, if we don't have some kind of workaround for him, he's actually going to die. So, what happened? Says the Gemara, Hela libotina. He was actually going crazy from it. Ubal v'shalu lirofim v'yamru, and the doctor said, Ein lo takana ad shetibayl. There's no way he's going to be cured unless we put him together with this woman, and we allow them to do whatever they need to do. Says the Gemara, Amr chachamim, yamas val tibayl. What do you mean? Gilui Arayos. Too bad. Let him kill himself. Let him die. We don't allow Gilui Arayos for that. So they said, okay, the doctor said, let's come up with another reitza. I feel uncomfortable saying this out loud, but the Gemara says it, so we're going to learn it. Says the Gemara, Tamu lefanav aruma. Maybe instead of doing actual Gilui Arayos, let's just have the woman come and let him look at her. Let him at least have some kind of satisfaction for his relationship, for his addiction. Says the Gemara, absolutely not. Yamos val tamu lefanav. No. Gilui Arayos, we wouldn't allow that. Let him die. We wouldn't allow that. It doesn't matter if he loses his life. Too bad. Says the Gemara, maybe why don't we put her behind a mechitza and let her at least talk to him. Maybe by hearing her voice, he'll at least feel some kind of feeling that's going to calm him down. And Chazal said, even that, we would not allow it. That's Gilui Arayos. We wouldn't allow. Now I ask you, that's Gilui Arayos? What do you mean? You never heard a woman talk? The answer is yes. When you hear a woman talk, you don't get an arousal. You don't have any thoughts in your mind. But this man is such a sick person, Chazal say, by talking to this woman alone, it's already Gilui Arayos for him. And from there is the big discussion that Baal Amar extracts from that Gemara, and he says, it would seem, even though the Gemara is describing a situation where he's not doing an actual Aveira of Gilui Arayos, the last suggestion that the doctors gave is just let them have a conversation. She's going to stand behind the mechitza. He won't even look at her. He won't see anything. But yet, doing so is something that would be an extension of Gilui Arayos. And from there, he says that would be part of Yeharig Val Yavar. So we would say that Yeharig Val Yavar means not only for doing an actual Maisa Aveira, but even being involved in one of the extensions of a Maisa Aveira would also be something that the Torah would assume Yeharig Val Yavar would apply. Now the question is, would we say that Yichud falls into that category or not? Maybe the description that the Gemara gives here in the case is, he was so sick, there's something wrong with him. Any interaction he would have with this person, that's really part of Gilui Arayos. But let's say we talk about Yichud, right? You have somebody who ends up, you're in an office, you have a secretary. You should never be miyachid to the secretary. Forget about halacha. You should worry about yourself. In today's generation, in today's time, even if the halacha didn't say anything about it, it's just a bad idea. I'm terrified. I meet people in my office all the time. And before I start every meeting, man or woman, I tell them there's a camera right there. Steve Myers is watching me. I can't do anything. I can't do anything in the office. And I say that because, chalila, should anyone ever have an imagination, they should know that every time before I start every meeting, I point out the fact that the camera is here and the camera is working. Every couple of months I go to Steve, I say, can you make sure the camera's working? Not because I'm afraid of myself. Again, a person can never be safe enough. But even so, you know, you're in a profession where you're meeting with people all the time. All you need is one person to make an allegation, one crazy person to make up a story, and you have to be very, very careful. So we have to have precautions. Forget about the halacha, which demands of us to have precautions anyway, but we have to have precautions regardless. So the question here is, would we assume that yichud is part of that category of gili arayos, of avizrayu de gili arayos, and therefore we would say that somebody has an obligation to give up his life for that? It is quoted in the name of Rav Yashiv and a number of others as well that we assume that yichud would not be an expectation of gilei arayos, and it wouldn't be an extension of gilei arayos. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes the same thing. Why? He says because there's a major difference between the case that the Gemara has where there was something happening, an interaction between a man and woman, but here there's nothing happening. I happen to be secluded in a place with a member of the opposite gender. It's not that I have any feelings for that person. They have no feelings for me. We just happen to be together. That's not called Avizrayu DeGilei Arayos to the point that we would say it would be Yaharig Val Yavar. There are extensions to Gilei Arayos where you would have to give up your life, but that's similar to what the Gemara says, where I'm doing something, where I have an interaction with that individual, but here, an Isser Yichud it is, but Yaharig Val Yavar it is not. And therefore we would say, even if we were talking about an Isser of Yichud, even if he had one woman swimming in the pool and now they had to run into the miklat, we would still say, Yaharig Val Yavar is not expected of you when all we're dealing with is an Isser of Yichud. That is not considered to be a full-fledged Gilei Arayos, and therefore we would say that there is no problem at all. Let alone the fact, my father told me today, let alone the fact that if it was more than one woman, number one, if it's more than three, we said the Rama says there's no Yichud in the first place. If it's more than one, it's only Nisa D'Rabbanan in the first place. So that's certainly not Yaharig Val Yavar when you're dealing with more than one member of the opposite gender, that would not be a problem. However, let's say you're in a situation where you have, forget this case for a moment, would it help if you turned on a video camera? Right? I just mentioned, I'm sitting in my office, I have a video camera. Now, I never lock the door to my office anyway. So it's an open door, anybody can walk at any time, everybody knows that. I also have a window on my office, people can look in. So there are many, many things that we all should be doing to make sure that both we are protected, and the person who is sitting next to us is protected as well. That being said, would it be helpful if I had a video camera? So say, for example, this is a big, big shaila about therapists. So there's a big question in the world of therapy. Should male therapists be meeting with female patients? Should female patients, therapists be meeting with male patients? It's a question that is way beyond my understanding. I don't know what the right answer is, but what should a therapist do if they are meeting with a member of the opposite gender? How do they deal with that? Isn't that a great example of yichud? We know, even if you have, let's say, a secretary, I assume most therapists don't have secretaries, but let's say you have a secretary who does the intake. We don't assume that the secretary is going to walk in the middle of a session. The secretary knows I have to respect the privacy of the person who's talking to the therapist, and therefore, they're secluded, they're alone, the door is closed, and nobody can come in. So what do you do? So this is a very serious shaila. There are those who say that if you have a video camera, then that would alleviate the problem of yichud. My father is of the opinion that a video camera does help to alleviate the problem of yichud. The issue with that is that when you're dealing with a doctor or a medical professional or a therapist, to have a video camera while they're treating a patient or while they're having a discussion with a patient is something that would never be okay. Which patient would be okay with being videoed? They don't want anybody to watch what's going on. They don't want anybody to see who they are. So the question is, can you set up a video camera in a way where it is never focused on the patient and it's always going to be focused on me? Now, that works so long as you stay in your seat. But what happens if you get up and then you're out of camera focus? So these are things that we certainly need to think about. These are issues that we need to talk about. Dr. Pelkowitz once told me that, you know, unfortunately we have so many scandals. Forget about the Jewish world, but we have so many scandals in the world at large. And people, unfortunately, like the Gemara says, Ein apotropos la'arayos. You can be the biggest tzaddik and the biggest Talmud Chacham and the biggest Eved Hashem. And unfortunately, we all have taivas and people do things wrong and we have to be aware of it. We have to be aware of the reality and we have to protect everyone, protect ourselves and protect others and make sure we take precautions. And Dr. Pelkowitz has told me that every scandal that you hear about never would have happened if only they listened to the advice of Chazal to be makbid on Hilchas Yichud. How can any problem ever happen if we're all vigilant on Hilchas Yichud? If everybody would be so careful with Hilchas Yichud, nothing would go wrong. But because we're not so careful, and because sometimes we cut corners and we say, oh, you know, it's a friend, it's not really a big deal, and I'm not really alone, and the door is open. You know, my father likes to say, the Gemara says in Maseches Sota, it's an interesting Gemara, the Gemara gives a mashal about a tree that is, let's say a wind comes and blows it, a hurricane, and now the tree is bent all the way down to one side. Say, so how am I going to get it to the other way? How am I going to get it to be back straight and standing tall again? So what do? You have to bend it all the way to the other side, and then hopefully over time, it will then work its way out to be in the position where it was originally before it got bent, before it was moved over. So my father likes to say, the Rambam writes, it's always important that a person live b'derech hamamutza, the shvil hazav the Rambam talks about. It's important that a person always live with a healthy balance. A person should always understand that you shouldn't be too extreme in either direction. Extremism is never good. We're seeing it. Look what happens when you have extremes in both directions. It's never good for anybody to be too extreme this way, too extreme the other way. In fact, the Gemara talks about a chassid shote. So the Gemara says, what is a chassid shote? You have somebody who's such a pious Jew. It's not talking about a Hasidic Jew. It's talking about a chassid shote means a very pious Jew who walks by a certain location and he sees there's a woman drowning in the river. And he says, oi, you know, I don't look at women. So he walks away and he can't save her. And he just lets her drown. Says the Gemara, you're not a chassid, you're a shote, you're a fool. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of you. Get past your chassidus and get into the water and save the woman, and you'll deal with it later. So you have people who are extreme and don't understand the proper balance all the time. So my father likes to say, whenever I've asked him about Hilchas Yichud Shailas that have come up, people ask all kinds of questions. My father always says, is it mutter me'ikar adin? Maybe. Is it true that the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have the opportunity that anyone could walk into the house at any time, it's already considered no longer Yichud? Maybe that's true. But he says, who wants to cut corners on Yichud in a generation that is so parodz ba'arayas? When you see in the news every single day that something terrible happens in Inyani Arayas and different issues and relationships that people have that become inappropriate just because people became too comfortable with one another and were not careful with the boundaries. So who wants to cut corners? Even though the Shulchan Aruch says there are certain instances when Yichud won't apply, it's not something that we should play games with. Now, of course, when we're talking about a potential pikuach nefesh, you have to do whatever you can. That's not a place to play games. You go into the shelter, you do what you need to do. But at the same time, when we're dealing with a regular situation, in an office or anywhere else, in our homes, you have a cleaning lady in the house, people call me all the time. My wife is going out to work, I'm home today, I'm working, I don't go into the office anymore, and I have a cleaning lady coming, you have to be concerned. You have to be concerned. You can't stay at home with the cleaning lady, even if you leave the door open, and even if there are heterim. Unfortunately, these are things that can lead to people doing things wrong. And we all have to be concerned and we all have to be aware. And what amazed me was when you have someone who's stuck in a bomb shelter and all he's thinking about is Yiras Shamayim. All he's worrying about is the opportunity to make sure that he's not doing anything wrong with Hilchas Yichud. It made me think, you know, I'm not stuck in a bomb shelter. Am I careful about Yichud like he am? I was talking today with a friend of mine, Rabbi Belazon. He's a rabbi in Fairlawn. And he mentioned to me that he's been talking in a shul about some of the shailas that he's hearing going on in Eretz Yisrael, and he said he's been so inspired by some of the questions that have come up. And he said that one of the chayalim asked the Rav Tzvai last week that he was about to go into a military zone, and he didn't know exactly how much time he was going to have to himself. You know, I assume you're on full time when you're in a military zone. So he said he wanted to know, is he allowed to start Shnayim Mikra for Parshas Vayera when we're still in the middle of Parshas Lech Lecha? Right, we didn't lay in the Parsha yet for Vayera. So he wanted to know, can he start Shnai Mikra? Rabbi Belazon told me that he went to his shul last week, and he stood up in front of the shul, and he said, does every person in the shul do Shnai Mikra every week? Here you have a chayal who's worried that he's going to go out to battle, and he's not sure exactly how's he going to finish a Shnai Mikra. Maybe he won't have time, so he'll have to do it a week early. And here we are in the comforts of America, living a perfect life, and we don't do Shnai Mikra. It's not in our minds. It's not a havamina to think about it. So he said, it's an opportunity for us to learn from the inspiration of these people. Somebody mentioned to me, I have plans to go to Eretz Yisrael next Matzoi Shabbos for a couple of days to help out. And somebody mentioned to me, you know, what exactly you're doing? And I said, you know, somebody told us we should go visit some army bases, you know, do a bunch of different things. So somebody told me we should go to army bases to give them chizuk. And this person said, no, you're not going to give them chizuk. They will give you so much chizuk. You'll see the way a Jewish army behaves. You'll see for yourself that what you're seeing in the news is not true. And the way that they're persuading you to think about what the Israeli army is all about, You'll see for yourself what Yirei Shamayim they are, what serious people they are, what people of mission they are, how much they understand that Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people are important to them and important to all of us. And you'll walk away not giving them chizuk, which I'm sure it's always a chizuk to see other people, but you will come away being very strengthened from seeing the character of the people that we deal with. Rav Asher Weiss was talking to me just last week, and he told me that a chayal asked a shayla to a Rav Tzva'i. Every army base, I think, has a, I don't know, every one or every couple have a Rav Tzva'i who looks after the spiritual well-being of that army base and is the mashgiach for the kashrus and everything. So he said that this chayal came to him and he asked him that the army gave him off for one Shabbos. They told him he can go home for a Shabbos and then he should come back on Matzai Shabbos. So he said the problem was that his wife did not go to the mikvah. She's a nida. And he was concerned that if he goes home, there's no way that he's not going to give his wife a hug and a kiss when he gets home or throughout the weekend. So he's concerned. Does he have to stay in the military base because if he goes home, he knows he's going to do something wrong? Or should we assume that you go home because who knows if your wife is ever going to see you again? And whatever happens, happens. These are amazing questions. The fact that Chayalim are asking such questions, that this is what's on their minds, that this is what they're worried about, is so amazing. And I ask myself the same question Rabbi Belazon asked his community. Is every man who's not in a military zone, is every single man and woman, when a woman is a nida, is every single husband and wife careful that they never do chibuk v'nishuk when they're not supposed to? Is every single person careful? This man was willing to give up his day off from the army, which I'm sure he needed very desperately. He was willing to give up his day off because he was concerned, maybe I'm going to violate the issur d'oraisa of chibuk v'nishuk to my wife, b'shas nidusa. Amazing. It's a lot to learn from them. So again, we're talking a lot about giving chizuk and writing letters. Let's take a step back and realize there's a lot to be mechuzak, there's a lot to be strengthened and a lot to learn from the incredible courage and the great spirit of so many of the chayalim, of so many people who are fighting l'shem shamayim and who are understanding what the tafkid is. Like Rav Asher Weiss said to me, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu not be with our soldiers when this is the way they behave, when these are the questions they ask, when this is what bothers them? Is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be with them? And that's what we hope, that's what we daven for, that's what we pray for. Not only that he'll be with the soldiers, but that he'll be with Kol Amo Beis Yisrael, that the Jewish people all over the world find themselves in great danger and great peril on so many different levels. Shouldn't be compared. Our dangers here in America are not close to what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, but there are concerns and there are dangers lurking in the background. And we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shirachem B'yachus Aleinu V'al Pleitas Amo Beis Yisrael, that we should be able to share happy and positive updates from whatever it is that will happen with the Hashgachas Hashem. So,